looked. I've had moments in my life where it's like, man, opportunities have passed me by because maybe you're quiet. Maybe you're not the big, exciting person, or maybe you haven't been there long enough, or maybe you've been there too long and they've kind of taken you for granted. But there's plenty of times in life where we have been overlooked. And I just want to say that all of us have overlooked something very important in our lives. The word "and." We've all overlooked the word "and," right? I want you guys to really think about it, because we see "and" so often that we don't even really think much of it. We just kind of read over it and gloss over it. But my message this morning is, it takes planting and watering. But think about what the word "and" means. It's including things. It's bringing things together. Let's think about the idea of, hey, if it was just Bonnie, there's not going to be as much robbery happening, right? If it's just Rocky, where's the comedy in the show? You just have a flying squirrel. If you just have Pinky, there's no taking over the world. Right? If there's no "and," we are missing something. And to be honest, with it being Valentine's Day, you know, I was trying to think about, how can I incorporate this? All of us in this room, when we're teenagers or we start to see the opposite gender there, we're looking for our "and." As we get to that phase in life, we're all looking for that "and" to bring into our lives, because we want to have somebody to do life with. But I want you guys to really begin to think about the idea of what "and" means. And this is where we're really going to be diving in today, and the idea that it takes all of us together. And the "and" is inclusive to bring every single one of us into this. So as we have been looking in Corinthians, and we started last week, and we talked about the idea and closed out with the Corinthian church is talking about, hey, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos. We kind of touched on that a little bit last week, correct? Now, when I was in elementary school and I was getting ready to go into fifth grade, there was this teacher that was extremely popular. His name was Mr. Conrad. Everybody wanted Mr. Conrad. And we actually got a chance to fill out and say, hey, this is the teacher that I would like. And if we turned it in early enough, we could have that teacher. Well, I got mine in late that year. And everybody was like, everybody signed up for Mr. Conrad, I guarantee it. But we had a new teacher that came in for the first year. His name was Mr. Becker. And I ended up with Mr. Becker. And I was really disappointed. But the truth is, he was the nicest guy and probably one of my favorite teachers I ever had. But the way that the Corinthian church is dividing up here, and this is going to kind of come together, is they started fighting, and there was divisiveness between the two groups that, hey, I follow Apollos, but Apollos is the one that brought me to know God, is the one that brought me to know Jesus. And then the Paul people were saying the same thing, so it got to this place where they were almost dividing themselves, or they were dividing themselves, because, hey, this person brought me, no, this person brought me, I'm better than you, no, we're better than you because of this. And it really began to tear them apart. Imagine if that's what it was like for us in fifth grade. Hey, I follow Mr. Conrad, hey, I follow Mr. Becker, but we hate each other because we have separate teachers. You know, one of my best friends had Mr. Conrad, and it's like, man, I guess I should have started hating him because he had Mr. Conrad, right? This is kind of the example that this church is doing, that 1 Corinthians are tearing themselves apart because they're focused on the wrong thing. So let's dive back into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start and look back at verse 5 again. It says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. So what Paul is immediately diving into the idea is, who are these people? Who am I? Who is Apollos? other than the fact that we both serve God and we were both called to bring you to know who Jesus Christ is. He's immediately beginning to say, what you guys are fighting over, what you guys are dividing yourself over is nothing. You guys are focused in the wrong area. It's not about me. It's not about Apollos. It's about God. At this point, Paul is fired up. If you guys remember last week, he tore into the Corinthian church saying, hey, you guys are but infants. You guys, I wanted to talk to you in a spiritual way, but you guys are just so fleshly, I can't even talk to you about the spiritual stuff. And this is one of the things that they were fighting over. I'm better than you because I had this teacher. Seems pointless, right? It seems like, why is that even a thing? But so often in life, we do that. We begin to fight and bicker and be divisive over things that really don't matter. But our eyes need to be focused on Christ. That's where we need to be focused. If we are wanting to become a church that is together, not just Crossroads, but a church as a whole, the Big C Church, if we are wanting to come together, we have to go back to that foundation that we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And one way that we need to dive into, and looking back into what Paul said and what they were arguing over, is there are people that have helped us in our walks. Every single one of us have had people that have helped us along in our walk. There is somebody in our lives, whether it's a parent, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a friend, that helped us to know who Jesus is. But we need to be careful not to let them become the idol of our lives. It's easy because we can say, man, this person is the one that helped me to know Christ. This is the person that's helped me in my walk. And we can begin to put them in a high place in our lives. And before we know it, we're kind of setting them on a pedestal that they don't need to be on. Because Jesus is the one that's going to help us to grow. Jesus is the one that we need to be focused on. Jesus is the foundation that we stand on. It's not that person. We can always look up to that person and realize the importance that they had in our lives, but to put them in a place over Jesus in our lives and to think that they're going to be the one that helps us to grow, we're sorely mistaken. Now, I'm not saying don't have a mentor in your life, don't have somebody that can help you to grow and point you in the right direction. That's not where I'm going, but when you begin to put them higher in that they're going to be the ones to make you grow, that's when it starts to get a little shaky. God will use people to help you get to them, but they are just the messenger. God uses each and every single one of us. God has used somebody in your life as a messenger to come to you, to point out to the fact of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for you, and the fact that he died on the cross. Somebody had that message that was put on their heart that came to you. And because of that, your life is now changed. And that's something we can all celebrate and recognize, to know that Jesus has come to know all of us. We have come to know Jesus. And because of that, all of the weight that we carry, all of the sin, all of the struggle that we carry is now forgiven. I'm thankful for the messenger, but I'm more thankful for Jesus. And as I said, to put your growth on the shoulders or your leader's shoulders rather than God is foolishness. What I mean by that is God, and we're going to dive into this scripture that really talks about the idea of what planting and watering and who God is within the role of that process. But God is the one that is going to make us to grow. God is the one that's going to help us to push along. The Holy Spirit within us is the thing that helps us to understand and have revelation as we read the scripture. In those times of prayer, the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us into truth, which we talked about in Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see what verses 6 and 7 say. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Again, he is pointing to the idea that who are those people? Are they somebody that you're putting more significance on in your life than you should? God is the one that causes us to grow, but uses us to encourage and to correct one another. I love the way that Paul is really diving in and just saying, you guys need to have your minds focused on who God is. You need to have your focus on Jesus Christ, and that is going to be the thing that begins to drive you forward, the thing that's going to help you to build your faith, the thing that's going to help you to get out there and begin to share. Putting Jesus as that foundation is going to be the thing that launches you. Each one of us in this room holds and carries around a bag of seeds in a watering can. You know that? Each of us has a bag of seeds and a watering can. What are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? Have you taken the time to go out and spread some seeds? Have you gone out to take the time to water at all? Man, one thing I'm awful at is taking care of plants. I just forget about them. Like the whole time, like that Andrew and Tasha were up at the hospital, she had like two plants that were sitting on the windowsill right behind the chair that I sit on. And when she came home, she goes, "Did you water my plants?" I did not. I didn't water them the entire time, and honestly, I totally forgot that they were there. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you if they are there right now. Or if they're alive or dead. But what we can understand is the seeds are to put something there that was not there before. That is the idea of what the seeds represent. As Paul is talking about the idea of planting these seeds, there are people out there in this world that do not know Jesus, that have never heard the name of Jesus, do not understand that he died on the cross and forgave. So we have the ability to take some seeds that we have, that we carry around and say, hey, I want to put these in here and help you to understand that there is somebody that loves you. There is somebody that can forgive you. All of that weight that you've carried, I know that he can take that off, and I know that he can bring healing in your life. Those are the seeds that we are carrying around, and we need to begin to plant those in the lives of people that have never heard the name of Jesus. The seeds are important. There are people that don't know that hole that they're trying to fill within their lives with many different things, it just needs a seed that needs to be planted in that hole. And each of us has the ability to plant those seeds in the people that we pass by every day. There are so many people that we walk past every single day that have no seeds. And we have the ability to say, here you go. Here's some hope for your life. Here's a chance at a new beginning. Here's a chance to change the trajectory of your life. Here is something that will change your life. That's the bag of seeds we're carrying around. And as I was looking through this passage of Scripture, and you know, I was initially planning on going from 5 all the way up to 15, but as I began to put this all together and the Holy Spirit was beginning to work in with me, I was already over a page in just the first five verses. And I was like, I think this is where God wants me to camp out. And he brought me to Matthew chapter 13. This is Jesus as he's talking about the idea or this parable of the seed sower. And as our responsibility of those that carry the seeds, we need to recognize the importance of what this passage is talking about. So Jesus says this starting in verse 3. And it said, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. Since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell in good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. I love the way that he's just talking about this and the way that he makes this whole idea of spreading the gospel so plain within this. And we need to get to the recognition that, hey, sometimes when we plant seeds, they're not going to stick. Sometimes as we begin to throw the seeds out to people, they're going to be people that just say, no, thank you. Some people are just going to be like, you know, I'm a little curious about it, but, you know, I'm not quite ready for it yet. Others, maybe their life, there's so much that's going on around them, so much sin, so much struggle, so much things that maybe they'll try to take it at first, but then the world begins to choke it out. But what we need to know is that there are going to be people that accept it and their life is changed. So don't ever let the idea, because somebody denies it and says no thank you, that you can give up at that point. Because what happens if the next person is good soil? We can't allow ourselves to give up, to get to a place where we're like, man, that person rejected me, so I can never do this again. It just was, the soil wasn't ready. The soil wasn't ready for the seeds, but, you know, we're going to get into a little bit more of that here in a second. But I love the way that this verse or that portion closes out. It says, he who has ears, let him hear. Who has ears? We all have ears. Some of them just don't work the same way, right? And I'm not trying to rip or make fun of that, but I want you to understand, he's saying, hey, everybody needs to hear this. Every single person in the world needs to hear, so let those that have ears, let them hear. That does not disqualify anybody. It's saying, hey, spread the seeds here, spread the seeds here, spread the seeds here. Get the seeds out there and watch and see which ones take root. I just want to make a reference out of Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how are they going to hear if nobody ever speaks to them? How are people supposed to hear? How are people supposed to receive if we're not throwing the seeds out there that Paul is challenging us to do that? So there's the planting of seeds. So we have that seed bag, but we also have the watering can. The water is to help give life and nurture something that's already there. This goes to those people that are out there in the world. Maybe they have the seeds planted, and maybe you're walking past them, and they just need a little sprinkle of water, a little bit of encouragement. Maybe they are in that place of curiosity, trying to figure out where their life needs to go. And maybe they're like, hey, I've been reading the Bible, but I just don't understand it. And just a little sprinkle of water, and the seed begins to grow. Maybe there's people in this room that are just hurting and they're struggling in their relationship with Christ. Maybe we have the ability to just sprinkle a little water and they begin to grow. Maybe our church just needs a little water and then it's going to begin to grow. Maybe you need just a little water and you begin to grow. This is something that we can all do, that we can all come together and begin to water one another, to encourage, to nurture one another, to be able to help one another grow. This is the idea of better together. That we are here as a body, that we are here as a family, and we have the ability to water and help those that are around us. We don't know what's going on in all of your lives. But man, maybe you could use a little water. Look around this room and recognize that there are people that need it. I mean it. Look around right now. Look at every single person in this room and recognize there's somebody in this room that needs some encouragement, in their walk. There's somebody in this room that needs to hear something today, and maybe you have that word. Water together. Look around as you pass by others and think that someone may need just a touch of water to start growing. Have that recognition as you're going out there into the world. As you pass by somebody, maybe you can kind of see it on them. They look down. They need just a little water. And I want to say the staff can give an overhead sprinkle through Sunday. But imagine if we all started watering one another and watering other seeds that may have been planted outside these walls. Sometimes when we attend church, we can look at the staff and say, hey, it's their job to share the gospel. But there's only so much we can put in our watering can. Imagine if all of us had a full watering can and we went out there and did that. Imagine how many lives could be touched. Verse 8 says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. This is the big and. This is where the and comes in, that he who plants and he who waters are one. The and brings them together, that we are to work side by side with one another. We are called to work together, side by side. We won't all have the same approach when it comes to sharing the gospel. We won't all say the exact same words. We won't all do it the same way. We won't all build relationships the same way. But that's the beauty of it, because one can plant the seeds and one can come alongside and begin to water. And when you begin to work together, there can be a change that begins to happen. There can be growth that begins to happen. So let's work together. Let's come together, church, and believe that one can plant and one can water. And then we can switch. One can hold the bag and then switch to the other person, and then the other can water. But let's work together and see what God can begin to do when the church comes together. And the truth is, we may all have different approaches, but we all have the same mission. We all have that same thing. It says, yeah, we can water and we can seed, but when we work together, it's the same mission to get growth to begin to take place. To get people to know God in a relationship with Him, because again, He is the one that's going to cause us to grow. God is watching the way that we use or don't use the seeds in the can, and we receive the wages of use or disuse of them. Pretty heavy when you begin to think about it that way. God is watching in the way that we use our bag of seeds or don't use them. God is watching the way that we use our can or we don't use the watering can. Think about it, the idea of when we get to heaven and we can have the recognition of, man, that person, I knew them before they knew Christ. I knew them when they came to Christ. And you begin to see all of the people, whether your hand was in it or somebody else's hand, but we can begin to celebrate and understand the wages of being able to see people come to salvation. Isn't that what we should desire? Isn't that what we should want, church? For people to know Jesus and receive that salvation? Verse 9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I love the way that he just ties it up right here. That we are fellow workers of God, that we are his field and his building. We belong to God. This recognition is how we become unified. When we can come to that recognition that we all belong to God, that we all have the same mission to go out there and begin to spread the word of God, that common mission is the thing that brings us together. The fact that we all know Jesus Christ, that we've all come into relationship with Him, that we are all adopted sons and daughters of God, and we can come together, and when we recognize we belong to Him, that's when we draw close to one another. Our purpose in life is to work with God and to help others find Him. We work alongside of God, that as we water and we seed, He is the one that begins to sustain the growth and begin the growth. We have the opportunity to work alongside the God of the universe, the God that created all things, that the God that started a universe from nothing. We get to work alongside Him, and He uses each and every one of us. That's amazing. Something that seems so small and insignificant in the expanse of an infinite universe. God uses small little us. As we do the work of God, we can recognize that He is with us. If we're co-workers with God and we go out there and we begin to do His work, we can recognize that He is with us. That's what a co-worker is, right? If we are co-workers with Him, He is not going to go abandon us when we go out and begin to share and spread the seeds and water those seeds. We all have the gospel seeds planted inside of us. Will each of us let it truly take root in our lives and let God begin to grow us? I love how it puts that, yes, we are His co-workers, but He is still working in all of us because we are His field. So therefore, we can continue to push into Him and recognize that every day we can continue to grow because we are all a work in progress. We can never get to that place where we're just like, I'm good. I'm good in my relationship with God. And He's like, no, I still got some soil I got to turn up over here. I still got to tend to this plant. I still got to tend to these seeds. God wants to continue to work in all of our lives. Are we going to allow the roots to continue to grow and take in and then begin to sprout and begin to step into the calling and the purpose that God has for each of our lives? God wants to do that in each and every one of us. God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to just stay a seed in the ground. He wants to watch us grow, and when things begin to grow, you get beautiful flowers or you get crops and all of these different things that help other people. We are constantly being worked on for the entirety of our lives. We need to recognize that. But we all need to submit ourselves to God and His purpose for each of our lives because we are already His. We need to be giving over our lives to Him. Give over our jobs to Him. Give over everything in our lives to Him because we already belong to Him. Now just believe it and let go. Wrapping up here. I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but I want you guys to use your imaginations. Imagine what it would be like if we all started working together in one purpose. Begin to think about that. What if the church got to a place where we were unified and everybody was responding to the call? Everybody was beginning to use their gifts. The church stopped bickering over small things. Imagine if we all came together, what would begin to happen? If we all stepped into our purpose, think of the difference that that would make. Think of the difference that it would make in this entire world if we worked together and began to go out there. I believe the world could be changed if Christians would stop fighting over the small things and recognize that we need to plant and water together. Because where the church is, and the church is divided in so many different ways, people don't want that. People don't want to become a part of something that's torn apart. People don't want to become a part of fragmented things. They want something that comes together, that is together. I believe that the world would be a different place if the church would love one another the way that God has called us to. So I want to invite the band to come up. Just have a few takeaways I want to throw up on the screen here for you. The first one is, we are always going to have differences, but we all have Christ in common. Not all of us are going to be the same. Not all of us look the same. Not all of us live the same lives. We all have many differences, but we can all say that we love Jesus, and we want to get that message out there. Number two, be careful of the pedestal that you put others on. Be careful who you are putting in high places of your life, and be careful not to put any of those people as idols. Number three, we all have some sort of influence in this world. Be careful of the seeds that you spread and what you are watering. We need to be careful with the influence that we are putting out there. We need to be careful of the seeds that we are planting in people's lives because we want the right seeds to begin to grow. And we need to be watering the right seeds and not pouring into things that are going to cause people to go away from God. Number four, not all the gospel seeds we spread are going to take root, but don't give up because some will. Don't allow one perceived failure to be the thing that drags you down because the next person could be a great victory. Number five, let's work together to plant seeds and water those seeds and see what God does. I'm excited, like I said, if you guys haven't got, I'm excited to see what happens when the church comes together. Number six, recognizing that we all belong to God and fulfilling His purpose together will bring unity. The church needs unity in this time. And when we can all get to that place of recognizing who God is and the fact that we belong to Him, that's going to pull us together. Number seven, and the final one, God is constantly working in us and through us. Get a hold of that idea that God is constantly going to be working in all of our lives and He is going to continually to work through us. When we take hold of that and we begin to see the way that God wants to use us and we say, here God, take my life, use me in the way that you want to, I'm excited to see the way that God is going to absolutely change and rock this world. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, I just want to thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that we are a people that you have brought together. Jesus, I'm thankful that you have helped each of us by sending a messenger into our lives to help you, to help us to get to know who you are. God, I pray that we would do the same thing. Lord, that we as a church would come together recognizing that we need one another. We need to be standing side by side, one with a bag of seeds and one with a watering can. And as we go out there linked arm in arm with one another, spreading the gospel, Lord, that we would begin to see seeds planted, seeds watered, and God, watch the way that you help them to grow. God, I believe that many beautiful plants, many beautiful flowers are going to begin to take shape and many beautiful things are going to begin to grow because of the seeds that you've given to us to plant. God, we are excited to see your hands at work. We are excited that we have the opportunity to work alongside of you. God, I pray that all of us will be open up to step into the plan and the purpose that you have for each of our lives. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you would die on the cross for us, and God, that you would show your love through that sacrifice. In your name we pray. Amen.